Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Let's see, it's Thursday. Day before Friday, but for me, my week isn't over because I'm on call and I got work after hours tonight and party tomorrow and the rest of the weekend trying to get these freaking deployments done as we're upgrading. Basically where I work is we're upgrading all areas of radiology, whole new system in place, and so we're getting all the hardware done and then hopefully software comes last. But in my case, we, you know, testing could have been done a lot more thoroughly, and that's the problem. We don't, with testing anything out, is it's done thoroughly enough, and you really what you should do is take in real world situations, and which is what some people don't when they consider testing. They just make some shit up where you're like, hey, it worked fine here, so it's gonna work out there. And my luck, not a damn thing has gone my way at all. So I'm leaving now because Houston's so spread out that pretty much where they have me doing this crap is just so out of the way. And I'm leaving now because I have to go all the way across town to get a birthday cake. Because yesterday I was stuck here and it took me forever to get home. And then of course once I got home, I had to run all the way out to Energy Stadium to do this Disney on Ice stuff. Which, you know, it was pretty good. Kids had a great time, and the seats I bought were really well. I mean, they were on floor level. My only regret was the splurging on the front row seats for $80 a piece. I mean, I was on floor level, but only a few rows back was half that price. So I was trying to be a little more sensible, but oh well, whatever. Kids had a great time. You know, really, a lot matters. And of course, you know, you have to buy the drinks and the snow cones they sell. And everything's in a Sylvanair cup. It's a special cup. And you got to pay freaking $16 for a snow cone. Yep. The crap that you buy probably for $2 a cup at the vendor. Yeah, you're spending $16 at a freaking Disney event. But it was for my daughter's birthday, so in the end, I guess it was worth it because she had a great time. All right, so we have the spring game coming up, and it's on, I believe, Saturday. Yeah, because tomorrow's the 13th, you know, Friday 13th, Jason, and, you know, we have this. And, of course, but the format is, you know, two captains, pick teams. Pick players. You know, it's the format that, you know, Mr. Narduzzi seems to like. And, you know, I haven't really put much emphasis on it because the whole pit basketball crap is more interesting. And I really don't put too much stock in the spring games at all. Really, it's just a, it's just for these guys. It's the progress to see where they've been, how they've been progressing, and then what they need to work on for the summer, and you know the whole festivity thing is for the fans, of course, to go see their guys play. And for some schools, it's a bragging right. So if you have, you know, a certain, you know, fan base who has, you know, small penis syndrome, they get to brag about how large their attendance is. We got 80,000 for our spring game. What did you get? Well, who cares? For Pitt, I mean, people show up, they show up. I care more about donations and raising money, which is what I hope Pitt is trying to do. And I'm sure if you can bring money into the LUG program where it doesn't require, you know, a spring game to do it, I'm sure it's not that big of a deal. But the great thing is West Virginia can't bitch about our attendance this year because they didn't have a spring game because of weather. And of course they were worried about nobody showing up to their spring game because of weather. So rather than avoid being made fun of or poked fun of, they just canceled. Because, you know, snowing middle of April is going to be so disasterful. Well, it depends on the weather, okay? If it's been warm the last few days, chances are the snow's really not going to lay too bad. And if anything, you got glorified rain. They don't get to brag about their attendance this year because, you know, they're a bitch about ours like they always do. Ooh, nobody showed up the Pitt spring game. Look at that. Ooh. I mean, West Virginia Penn State fans pretty much every time they see an empty Heinz Field, they get a little makeout session between the both of them. You know, an empty Heinz Field is pretty much Viagra to them. You know, it's an aphrodisiac. They get horny over it. But as far as the spring game goes for Pitt, what's there to look out for? I mean, for one thing, I'm not sure how the game plan is going to be because I really haven't read up on it too much, but I'm sure if it's like previous years, the game plan will probably be vanilla because, you know, Penn or Doozy doesn't like to reveal too much about what his team's doing. You know, he tries to keep it vanilla against 1AA teams, but of course, when we played Youngstown State this past year, I think it was Youngstown, yeah, it didn't matter if he kept it vanilla or not. Our offense was so bad, it wouldn't have made no difference. You wouldn't be able to tell. And, you know, of course, half of the receiving corps for Pitt is depleted because of due to injuries, so you won't see much there. No Shockey Jockey, no Aaron Matthews. But you got Rafael Reyes Lopez, who's the leading receiver and returning player coming back from the corps. Trey Tipton, obviously, is coming back from injury. You got Ruben Flowers, of course. He's back. And he has obviously a lot of potential. Now, you know, you also have Kenny Pickett, who's going to be throwing the ball to them. Of course, it's good to see at least, you know, Pitt has an actual quarterback they've settled on. Because I wasn't too crazy about Max Brown. I wasn't sold on him this time around. And I said, you know, Pitt should not be too, you know, sold on him because we don't know what his body work is. All we know is he lost his job to a redshirt freshman in Sam Darnold. So, right there's a red flag. And whatever we saw, whatever happened with Brown at USC, obviously, relatively hit a pit, and then, of course, by the time he actually got himself into a rhythm, he got hurt. And of course, we bounced around with dealing with Ben DiNucci. And I was hounding him in the beginning, but of course, he obviously had issues reading coverages. So he gets removed, and Kenny Pickett takes his place. And Kenny obviously started to come on, and really, we don't, as far as Kenny goes, we don't have much to go on with him, because just the Miami game for the most part. And the Virginia Tech game. So, which really helps Pitt in the grand scheme of things, because teams don't have much game film on Pickett, so they can't really, you don't know what he's going to be able to do. I'm sure Pitt's going to keep it that way too for the spring game. You know. But obviously Pickett, when he came in for the Miami game, he turned lots of heads, and of course people on Twitter started to take notice, even some, you know, prominent, you know, NFL people, some scouts. They liked him. And I'm sure they want to see more of him, but he doesn't need guys to throw the ball to, and of course these guys need to step up. So we'll see what happens. Not to mention, you know, other areas to watch. I mean, offensive line is one, because we have a toe overhaul there going. Not to mention new offensive line coach. You know, because pretty much half of the, pretty much all the offensive line is gone. Maybe except for like one player. So, new personnel, new coach. Running back, we're fine. Excuse me. Because, we got Darren Hall and Olsen. I'm surprised Olsen's still here. I figured he would have transferred out, but he's sticking with it. You know, Chris Clark left for personal reasons, so we get to see who steps into that role, if anything at all, because we're definitely going to need a tight end. One thing, George Aston's back, and George Aston made a lot of big plays for Pitt 2 years ago, and you can say that Pitt probably missed him because he was such a good guy to use. He was a good utility guy. They could do anything with him. Give the ball to him, throw the ball to him. So that's a good thing he's coming back, because Pitt, I think, missed him. He was another wrinkle in their offensive game plan that they were no longer able to use. So having him back is awesome. Defensively, you know, we got Paris Ford. He's the guy to watch. Obviously, he's watched some people. The secondary, you want to definitely take a look at, because they're supposed to be they're going to be more deeper, more experienced. They've gotten a lot better. They weren't bad. They weren't too bad last year. Now, to start off the season, they were atrocious, but they got better. They got better because basically the offense was at least starting to move the ball better. And, you know, defense as a whole got better towards the end because they actually had a quarterback who, you know, could move the ball and keep them off the field, you know, give them a break, because they were spending too much time on that football field is what it was. And so when you're getting back out there because the offense sucks, best you're going to say the hell with it. We're done defending. You know, the linebacking corps has got a lot better as well. So, yeah, your back seven, your secondary, your linebackers are what to watch. Of course, that unit in general is going to be good. factor into scoring too much. I remember the 2003, was it, when we had the spring game and Larry Fitzgerald, all the Pitt offense, wowed everybody. We just didn't realize how bad the defense was going to be, you know, when that team took the field. It was mostly their defensive line and parts of their linebacker corps had just deficiencies. Because on defensive line, I think that year, 2002, they lost some key players. Not to mention some graduated. You know, Gerald Hayes, you know, Brian Guzik. And I thought Guzik could have been an NFL, could have played in the pros, but he wanted to be an engineer instead. So, well, maybe with all this crap about all the CTE stuff going on, maybe he made the right choice. I mean, I've seen down here in Houston, there was a player from Rice who did the same thing. He forgot his final year of eligibility just to go do an internship for an oil and gas company where he was going to make over $100,000 a year. I mean, think about that. I'm sure he had no aspirations to play in the pros, and I think he was pro material, but he was in a position where he could leave early and go make $100,000. And that was like that with IT as well. You know, I remember back in the late 90s, guys were ditching college to go work IT jobs and get paid lots of money. And then, of course, we had the dot-com bust and whatnot. Not to mention a lot of people that were just going in to make money in IT, they weren't really computer literate. They were just going to learning schools and learning certain things and to get them certificates and land themselves a job. And because of that, we got stuck with a bunch of jobs that were contract to hire because the employer wanted to see if you actually knew what the hell you were doing before they hired you. They weren't just going to offer you a job off the bat just because you had qualifications. They wanted to see if you actually knew the material. Not that you learned it and got a certificate for it. You actually like knew it and you have that capability to actually troubleshoot and whatnot, and you don't have to go off a pre-written document, which is what some departments do now. They make you do all this knowledge-based crap and where you have to document every little process and procedure. And, of course, if you have certain fixes, you have to document them all one by one just so you know, so-and-so can figure it out. Plus, it makes people more expendable doing that way because you can make them easier to get rid of them. So you're not so you're not too dependent on them. I mean, I worked with a guy who, nice guy. He was supposed to train me for to be his backup, but it turns out I ended up being his replacement because he was breaking stuff on purpose just so we can rush and call him and beg him to get on the computer on his day off or wherever he was to log in and fix it. And then, of course, when we got rid of him, all of our network issues just went away. And then, of course, when I was in his position, I was finding all the crap that he broke. And it wasn't pretty. But anyways, I'm trailing off the conversation, but as far as the spring game goes, it's really just a glorified scrimmage, and if you have a Jones for football since the Super Bowl ended, this is the BCS playoff playoffs have ended. You got that going for you. And it's something to do during the day. You know, that's if you live in Pittsburgh. For some, if you want to travel, if it gives you an excuse to get, you know, travel for the weekend and come connect with old pals and check out the university, see all the new stuff, you know, all the new construction around Oakland, and if there's any at all. So, to narrow it down, take a look at the passing game, the offensive line, look at that. Those were areas to watch. Of course, the defense. Supposedly, we got ball hawks, and of course, it's a defense we've dreamed about for years. But at the end of the day, it's a scrimmage. We won't know much really about it, because year after year with Pitt, there's always some guy who always does great in spring and, of course, does dick when the fall comes around. Man. You know, next podcast, I'll probably touch on Jeff Capel's hiring of his assistant. Supposedly, he's hiring his brother. And we'll get all of that probably next podcast as well. But anyways, guys, I got nothing to really add. I got nothing. Held up it. Bye.